Hey, welcome everybody to the Happiness Highway. And we're here with Melissa and the Less Stress Doc, Dr. Gary Sprouse. And we're here to help you make sure you get into your happy place and stay there. That's the key, right? We want to all live in our happy place. So today what we're going to be talking about is further along the idea of self-esteem. And I've met too many people now that they just have low self-esteem, and that colors everything in their life. And today we want to finish because I want people to have good self-esteem. And Melissa, I know you were talking to me the other day that you've incorporated the scoring system into your life. What do you tell me about it?
Okay, so jokingly but seriously, what we talked about the last time was giving yourself points for even just waking up. So like for me as a mother, a grandmother, and a caregiver, and I also have a full-time job, that I'm hard on myself, right? And I don't give myself credit for the things I do. So now when I get up in the morning and I look this good, Gary, that's 75 points. That's 75 points right off the bat.
That's way.
That's 75 because this is all natural. This is just good genes. My accomplishments throughout the day, you and I talked about this on the phone the other day. I've been keeping a little list. Like I have a little index card every day that I write my list on of things I have to do. And when I get them done, I feel very accomplished and I give myself points for getting them done. What I'm not doing is harping on myself for not getting things done. I'm actually giving myself a break and thinking whatever the top three priorities of the day, I get those done. And anything that's not done moves to the top of the list tomorrow. But I get points for making dinner on time and getting to my classes and teaching kids and, you know, being here with you today on the podcast and still, you know, being able to function. And I think that a lot of women, men include, and men also, don't give themselves credit throughout the day for the things they do get done.
That is exactly the point that I'm trying to make in the book, which is there's no way that you can't have a positive score if you're giving yourself credit for everything that you accomplish. Because there's so many things that you accomplish. The biggest problem that we get into is we give ourselves zero for a lot of things because we don't consider them accomplishments. And two is we take things for granted. And so just going to the sink and getting tap water, you're like, woohoo, right? That's 10 points. Not everybody gets to do that. And so, yeah, I think what you're finding is that when I asked one of my patients to do this, he got tired of writing because there were so many things that he had to write down. It was like, because there's so many things that we can be grateful for and thankful for and give ourselves accomplishment points. There's no way at the end of the day, you don't go, woohoo, good job today, right?
Very much so. One thing I want to mention, something else we discussed the other day, you and I, is that when you're doing this, though, whoever's listening today, and hopefully it's a million people listening, but whoever's listening today, when you're doing this, don't compare yourself to somebody else on your list and your point system, and don't put your friends or your spouse or your loved ones in on that point system with you, because then you start to get like, well, I have 63 things on my list and I'm giving myself points for that, but you're not getting your things done. Do you know what I'm trying to say? We can't compare ourselves to one another, what somebody else is accomplishing and what we haven't, or vice versa.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's really more like for this situation, for self-esteem, this is where it does include self. Like you want to be able to look at yourself and say, hey, I got something on today. And it doesn't matter if somebody got 10 more things done. What I got done is what's important to me, because that's where my self-esteem comes from. But that brings up the next point, which we didn't talk about last time. And one of the things that I find with self-esteem is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And what does that mean, right? So what that's saying is that people have this core value of where they think their self-esteem is. And if it's low, then it's really hard to change that to high. If it's high, it's really hard to keep it at high. It's hard to, yeah, well, anyway, it's because these are what I call the four Ds, okay? And what people do is when information comes in that doesn't fit with that core assessment of their self-esteem, then they do something to try and get the dissonance to be better, to get rid of the dissonance. So what that means is if you have low self-esteem, we're going to start with that first. If somebody comes along and says, hey, you look really good today, you're like, ugh, my self-esteem is bad. And when that kind of information comes in, that doesn't fit with what I think. And so I have to figure out a way to make that fit with what I think. And so that what I do is what I call the four Ds. And so what that is it's deny, dismiss, diminish, and deflect. So those are the four things that I talk about.
I think that a lot of us, we dismiss those compliments. We dismiss when somebody praises us for doing something well. When we reach a milestone, we dismiss it if we have low self-esteem, right? You want to start with that one?
That's exactly.
And talk about how that actually works.
Right. So say you're diminishing, right? So somebody comes along and say, hey, you're looking really good today. And you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. They obviously don't mean that I really look good, that I just like, maybe I look a little better than I usually do, but then I can just ignore that comment. Or they can deny it. So they can just go, oh, you know, that doesn't even make any sense. Or they can, you know, like they don't even hear it. It just keeps on going into the conversation. Or they can deflect it and they go, okay, you think I look good, but let's just talk about the weather. Mm-hmm. Or the last one is where they, where they diminish it or dismiss it. One of the things they can do is go, oh, well, look, you think I look pretty, but there's got to be some other ulterior motive. Like, you want to take me out on a date or you want to do something else because it can't be that you really think I look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So when people do that, as good information comes into them, they don't get it. They don't hear it. They don't accept it. And so then they can maintain their low self-esteem because they can't hear the good stuff. Now, if somebody comes along and says to them, hey, you look really crappy today, they go, ugh, I hate hearing that, but it's true. And so they don't do anything to change the information. Mm-hmm. And so what happens then with a person with low self-esteem is everything's filtering through that. All the information is filtering through. So they're getting rid of all this information that says they're doing well and keeping all the information that's saying they're doing bad, which is where that self-fulfilling prophecy comes from. Because then they just sit around going, ugh, I'm just bad. And I keep hearing the proof that I'm bad because they can never hear the opposite. So when you switch that around and you end up with the high self-esteem people, they do the opposite. So if somebody comes along to them and says, hey, you look good today. They're like, oh, that's what I thought because it fits. But when someone comes along and says, no, you look like crap today. They're like, wait. And they use the 4Ds to say, no, that doesn't make sense. You must have some, you must be looking at somebody else or you know, let's just talk about the weather or, you know, what other motive do you have for saying I look bad? So they do the opposite. So their self-esteem tends to stay high because they hear the good stuff and diminish the bad stuff. And so that's why self-esteem becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because as you filter the information, you can maintain whatever it is you're thinking. And so what becomes important is that we have to know that we can change our self-esteem so that you can then start hearing the people when they say good things to you and you don't just dismiss them or use the 4Ds.
And I think some people don't realize what we talked about last time we did the last podcast is a lot of this starts when you're young, when you're a baby, right? Like, and as you grow as a child and the voices that are in your ears talking and the people that are surrounding you. So as we move into adulthood, tell us how we break those cycles for our low self-esteem and how we can get rid of that dismissal and denial, deflection and diminishing and really get to that point. Like you're talking about the people who have really high self-esteem, because everybody wants to feel like that things just kind of roll off their back, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, negative things tend to roll off their back. That's right. Well, so you're correct that I think our self-esteem, that concept of our self-esteem starts when they were babies. I mean, literally, when we start figuring out we're separate from everybody else, that's when self-esteem starts. And so your parents and the people around you when you're a baby have a big influence on your self-esteem. But it's just a track in your brain. It's just a concept that's in your brain. And so any concept in our brain is changeable. Now, core ones, and I think self-esteem is a core one, is more difficult to change, but it's really only one thing that you have to change. If you say, hey, instead of low self-esteem, I want high self-esteem, that's one piece of information that you have to change. But because it's core, everything's filtering through that. So what I have found is that it actually helps to have a friend or a family member or a psychologist or whoever it is that you're talking to help you start this process, because your perceptions are being altered by your self-esteem. So like I've seen this with patients where you go, okay, let's look at the statistics. Let's look at the facts. Like, look, you can do this. You can do this. You can do that. You graduated from this. You did that. You did these, all these accomplishments. And it's like, I want you to open your eyes and look at that. So when you realize that the four D's are keeping you from having good self-esteem, if I can get rid of the four D's or at least make you aware that they exist, then you can start looking at the information as it comes in a more accurate way. And so then you can start laying the foundation for a new tract in your brain that instead of saying it's low self-esteem, now you're going to say it's high self-esteem.
What do you say to the theory that, you know, you as an author, you speak to a lot of other authors, you go to author events and you travel and do things, right? Speaking about your book and meeting a lot of other people. You have made your circle for being an author and being a doctor. You are in a circle of people who are highly successful. Yes?
Yes.
And who have a mantra of high self-esteem and wanting to keep pushing and wanting to help other people. But everybody's in that same mindset, right? And trying to push each other and lift each other up. Yes. So when you're talking about, so you have a very successful circle. That's my point. Yes. And so that keeps you motivated. That makes you want to be better. And you all challenge each other to get better all the time. Right.
Yeah, so that helps, but you have to be careful because sometimes when you are in a group with people that are successful, sometimes you go, oh, I'm not as successful as them. And so it can work both ways. I agree with you that being in a group of people who are mutually supportive definitely makes a big difference in your life. So if you're hanging out with somebody who's constantly knocking you down, that makes it really hard. And I've seen patients come in and their spouse has just been downing them like for years, and it takes its toll on them. And it makes it hard for them to have good self-esteem because they have this important person in their life continually telling they're doing bad stuff or they're bad people or they're whatever, basically diminishing their self-esteem. And so one of the things I'd have to say to these people is, look, okay, so that person has their opinion, but you have your own opinion and there's other people around you that have an opinion. And so sometimes you have to like decrease the credibility of somebody who's downing you. And that's again where these four D's come in. So if somebody's telling you you're a bad person, you can say, hey, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to diminish your credibility and I'm going to listen to this other person who's telling me I am doing a good job and I'm going to start switching around. But you're right, it's hard if the people around you are not being supportive of your feeling good about yourself. But that's something you can change. Like you have the ability to change that.
And I think something that we need to remember when you were just saying this about people and people's opinions, right? They're only opinions. Everybody can have an opinion on you. It doesn't make it so. And so you have to start valuing yourself much more than you do other people's opinions. There, you know, if you scroll on to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of that social media stuff, there's always positive mantras coming across, whether it's a human saying it or like a voiceover or somebody saying it about how what you think is what happens in your life and the things that you focus on happens in your life. So when you start seeing yourself in a different light, and I can say it's happened for myself over the years. Do you know what I'm saying? When you start to perceive yourself as successful, when you start to perceive yourself as worthy of love, when you start to perceive yourself as a happy person, and the energy starts to flow through you that feels like that all the time.
This is exactly my point. So as your self-esteem improves, then you start looking at the information that's coming in and being able to hear and accept when someone says you did a good job. When you have low self-esteem, you can't hear it. So as the self-esteem starts changing, now you can start hearing it, which then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just says what you're saying. As you start recognizing your successes, then you go, oh, look, I had a success, raise my self-esteem, which then makes me go, oh, look, there's another success, raise my self-esteem. But it takes laying down a new track. And this is so first off, I want to make sure everybody understands it is changeable. You can change this. Once you recognize where you're at, you recognize the four D's, you recognize that you have credibility. So it's changeable. But once it changes, it literally changes your life. Now, I think it changes us for good, because now instead of only hearing bad things and not hearing good things, now you can start hearing the good things and makes you feel better about yourself. And so the mood that you have is better, right? But it is a little disorienting. So like one of the first patients that I worked with, we went through her achievements, and we went through her labeled portrait, and we made sure that she had good foundation for why she should have good self-esteem. And I'm like, and I'm patting myself on the back on, oh, I did a great job with this lady. She's going to feel so much better. And I looked at her and I thought I had punched her in the stomach. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Like, what is happening here? And she said to me, she goes, well, if I was wrong about myself, what else am I wrong about? And it's like, okay, well, and that's when I started saying, okay, when you change your self-esteem, it literally changes how you view everything in your life, past, present, and future. So it's a little bit disoriented at first, but if you let it continue, it becomes the normal. And then life is so much better when you feel good about yourself.
I think also when you do that and you change yourself too, the people around you, you're going to really see who's there for you and who's not for you. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Because people are going to have to adjust, because if they're used to you having low self-esteem and being able to be manipulated because of mm-hmm. your low self-esteem, and all of a sudden you have high self-esteem and you're not as easy to manipulate, then people have to adjust. And, you know, most people don't want to put the energy into adjusting to your changes, but, you know, you have to. So.
And we always talk about women, because obviously me being a woman and being a mom and a grandma and stuff like that, we talk about it, but this affects men a lot too, right? So you see a lot of men who move around and, you know, I mean, as I was younger and dating or prior to getting married or whatever, and you see people that are moving around with what you perceive as high self-esteem. And then sometimes it becomes more of an arrogance because they're hiding behind that to protect themselves, because in their minds and in their hearts, they're still hurting just as much as the next person. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not able to receive all these things either.
What I keep finding is that, well, there was a study, because men have this, there's this perception that men don't feel emotions. And there's like 20 studies, and they all said the same thing, that men feel all the same emotions as women. They just don't express them as much, and they don't express them as much detail. So they might just go, hey, they might have three emotions. They're angry, they're afraid, or whatever, or they're sad. Women might go, they might have 200 adjectives for the same thing, right? So they have different gradations. So they can go, well, I'm peeved, or I'm like frustrated, or I'm angry, but, and God goes, so I'm angry, right? So their adjectives are more extensive, and so they look more responsive, but men have just as many emotions. They just have this myth that they should be hiding them, and they shouldn't let anybody see them, because that's the manly thing to do. But just as many men have low self-esteem as women. And maybe more, because in men, they tend to be hierarchical. So they're tending to measure themselves against other people. And so it's not hard at all to say, hey, your self-esteem can take a hit when you think there are other people around you who are doing more than you are.
Most definitely. And, you know, all this work, it's very humbling. It takes a lot of work. I mean, obviously, there's so many different chapters in the book and passages that can help people in your book, step by step, to get us through. Give us a few more pointers on how to actually switch around to having a higher self-esteem. How can we start to, what's the first step in starting to feel better for anybody who's listening today? What's the first step they need to do?
Okay. Well, so I think the first step is starting to take an assessment of where your self-esteem is, because it's one of those core values that you don't really evaluate very often because it's just there, right? Two is that you have to recognize that it's changeable, because if you don't think it's changeable, then nothing's going to happen. If you just think that's the way it is, then there's no reason to change. So the first step is recognizing where your self-esteem is. The second step is recognizing that it can change. And I think just those two steps alone are getting you halfway to getting there. Three, recognize that self-esteem isn't just about self, because the group that you're in has a lot of say in what they consider valuable or not valuable. You have to evaluate the group that you're in, and I think you were alluding to that, is like, if the group isn't valuing what I value, then maybe I need a different group, or maybe I need to change the group's idea of what value is, right? And so one of the ways to do that is by looking at your self-credibility meter. And so we have this meter in our head, and if it's for self, and you go, okay, well, God, my opinion is really important, everybody else is not that important. Or everybody else's opinion is important and mine doesn't matter that much. So I try to get people to shift their meter at least to the side where their opinion matters, even if I put myself in this place where I'm sort of in the middle, where I go, okay, it's important for me that other people understand what I'm saying and value what I'm doing. But it's just as important that I do it too. So there's sort of like an in-between place where you're listening to what other people are saying, but you value your opinion just as much, or if not a little bit more. So those are the first couple steps. And then you get to what we talked about last week, where you're starting to keep score of your achievements. Because I think, as much as psychologists like to keep achievements out of your self-esteem, I don't even think it's not possible. Because every time somebody has an accomplishment, they go, "Ooh," they feel better about themselves. And every time they don't, when something doesn't go well, they don't feel good about themselves. So keeping accomplishments in the equation, I think, is mandatory, because ignoring when things go well and that how that improves your self-esteem doesn't make sense to me. But what I found was that you have to do it accurately. And that's where people get into trouble. They don't give themselves positive scores for things they accomplish, and they don't even recognize them as accomplishments. And then the same thing goes with our label portrait, that most people have way more good characteristics than they do bad, but they don't give their scores to their good characteristics, and they give these big neon signs to their bad characteristics. So when you keep score accurately, it's almost impossible not to, at least intellectually, have good self-esteem.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say is what I see is how I was raised. I can hear like my grandmother or my great grandma saying, "Oh, you're going to pat yourself on the back for that." You grow up hearing those
exactly
things.
What I'm talking
patting
about.
Yourself on the back for that. When you were just talking, I could hear them. And so we're trained as people not to give ourselves credit for anything.
That, you know, it's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. There are a lot of things where we don't want people to get like too big a head, right? Like, "Oh, you got such a big head." Like, yeah, but no. Excuse me. I'm on the tail end of my cold, so I'm hoping it'll go away. No, that's actually a really good point, right? Because, you know, society wants us sort of like in the middle. They don't want us too big. They don't want us too small. And it's like, so when you start giving yourself credit for your achievements, yeah, people come along and say, "Hey, why are you doing that? Why are you giving yourself, you're going to get a big head. You're going to get arrogant," or whatever. No, that's not true. Self-esteem doesn't have to be out. It just means you think of yourself in a good light so that when information's coming in, you can hear it and you go, "Oh yeah, that fits."
And I think that when your self-esteem is in a better place, and say this from personal knowledge, and it's a work in progress, right? It's a work in progress every day when dealing with people in the world and things. But your relationships are better. Your marriage can be better. Your relationship with your children can be better. Your work environment can be better, because there's such a shift in everything you view that the overall picture seems better. It all doesn't seem like, "Oh my gosh, I can't do this," or doom and gloom all the time.
Well, you know, this is what I talk about. I think we said this last week, last episode, where, you know, you're willing to take more risk. So if your self-esteem is positive and someone says, "Hey, if you do this, you'll get 20 more self-esteem points," you're like, "Well, I'm positive already. I'll be even more positive. Yeah, let's try." But if your self-esteem is on the negative side and someone gives you a chance to get positive, but then they also say, "But it could be even worse," you're like, "I'd rather just stick where I am rather than even risking getting worse." So you're way more likely to take a risk and try to accomplish something because the benefits are there and the side effects are minimized. If you have low self-esteem and you take a risk and you lose, oh my God, that's devastating. And so you go, "I don't even want to try." So I think you're absolutely right. It also diminishes people's ability to manipulate you, because a lot of patients, when their self-esteem is on the low side, they're so desperate to have self-esteem or have people like them that they're willing to do things they don't really want to do because they want those self-esteem points of either saying, "Hey, I'm not a selfish person. I give to others," or, "I really want that person's attention because that's critical to me, because without that, then I have like no self-esteem." At least they're willing to stick with me. And like, so you're putting up with all kinds of crap just so they'll stick with you. If your self-esteem goes up, then you're like, "Hey, you know what? I don't need that. Like, get out. Like, I don't need that."
One of the things that I can tell you from reading the book, and then I've read it again, and then I read it before we do our podcast, I take something different every time I read it, right? Cool. But one of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago is that as we get older, and I'm older than I was a long time ago, you know, I'm not going to age myself, but I'm older. I have kids. I have grandkids. So we all can understand I'm older. I'm at the point in my life where I don't want to feel like that anymore, one. And two, I want to live out everything that's inside of me that was given to me as a gift to do, right? I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to do it all. And so if you're a poker player, you ever watch those people on TV and they're like, I'm all in, and they take all their chips and they shove them all into the thing? Well, that's pretty much where I feel, because my advice is go all in on something. It doesn't have to be a big something, just a small something. Because if you don't try, you don't know. You don't know, and you just stay the same every day. If you fail at it and it doesn't work, or it doesn't work 100%, there's still room to grow, and you're learning as you go, to look at it all as a learning. But at least go all in on something to try to make a difference in your life, because you owe it to yourself, you know?
Absolutely. So when you recognize that my self-esteem might be not as good as I would like it, and you recognize that it's changeable, and you start making these changes, you get rid of the 4Ds, and you stop dismissing all the information that's coming in as good, you become a scientist, where you go, hey, let me look at the information and see where I'm coming from. And I'm trying to get rid of these voices from the past that keep these voices from the past that hold you back and go and don't let you recognize your accomplishments. And they, as you gradually start improving your self-esteem, then it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, which doesn't make you arrogant. It just makes you confident. And so that you're confident, and that's part of the self-esteem, is your self-efficacy. When you have confidence, you go, hey, I can tackle something, and I have a pretty good idea, and I'm going to be able to do it. Because I've been able to do it in the past, so why shouldn't I be able to do it in the future?
The other thing is, too, you're being a role model. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, if you have nieces and nephews, you have somebody else around you that's living with you, a partner, a relative, somebody, you're a role model for them who may not feel as good either, to say, hey, you can do it. And you're teaching your children these steps at an early age, because nobody, if we're being honest, nobody taught you and I that. I'm not saying parenting was terrible in our families. I'm not slamming on your mom or my mom or anybody like that. What I'm saying is they didn't have those skills. But we have those skills to teach our kids. They didn't have those, you know what I'm saying? And they didn't have all the self-help things like we have now and all the things that we have. And so it's important to impart those and to help the next generation of people so they don't have to dig out from under something. They're already there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I have more awareness of what's going on. So I think I'm a better grandparent than I am parent, probably, because I have more information and more experience. And so, yeah, as we become more aware of situations and our self-esteem and our 4Ds and all these other things, as we become aware of them, then our quality of parenting can improve. I think most parents that I know want their kids to be successful and be happy. They just don't always know how to do it. And so, yeah, this is why. But even if you grew up in a family where things were pretty crappy, you have the ability to change. It's, you know, humans are amazing. Like, our ability to learn is like unbelievable, right? Like, I can teach you in 1 second how to do something. Like, if I had to teach a dog how to do something, it might take me all day to figure it out, or maybe all week. But if I'm teaching a human, like, in 1 10-second thing, I go, okay, do this. And you're like, it's done. And you're like, oh my God, we're amazing. But the problem is that we can learn it, but it doesn't become automatic. And that's where self-esteem comes in. Like, self-esteem is one of those automatic things, because it's been going on for so long that we have to change from being automatic to making it conscious. So when you have to sit around and go, I consciously have to think about, hey, the good things that I did. What did I accomplish today? What kind of good characteristics do I have? Do I have confidence that I can try something new? Can I write these kinds of things? And as you do that, the changes will happen gradually, and you start laying down a new track. The old track might be stuck there because I can't get rid of it, but I can have a new track. It says, no, 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 what am I talking about? I do have good self-esteem. And you're right, it changes everything that you say for the better.
The other thing, and I'll just circle back around to something we talk about every time, which is on my end of things, it improves your overall health, because a lot of times people turn to drinking or medication or overeating or just bad habits when their self-esteem is low, something to soothe that pain, to soothe that hurt within their hearts, to make themselves feel better. And as a doctor, can you address that just for a second?
Absolutely. No, that's exactly. This is what I found is, and I used, instead of the word addiction, I used the term stress reducer loop. And we'll talk about that in another episode. But what I find is, just as you said, when people are not feeling good, they're stressed, that's their stress, and they're trying to find a stress reducer, and they find a stress reducer, and the worse they feel, the more powerful it has to be, and the more often they have to use it. And when you combine those two things, more powerful, more often, then you end up with the stress reducer starting to cause problems.
Exactly.
So like if you have one beer in a night, not going to be a big deal, probably, right? If you have 30 beers a night, that's going to lead to trouble. And so like, so somebody who's got worse self-esteem, they're going to drink 30 beers, not one, because one isn't enough. They need 30, or they need something stronger than beer, or like they need whiskey or whatever. And so the more powerful and the more often leads to trouble.
Yes.
So by improving the self-esteem, then you don't need the stress reducer at all because you're feeling good.
And then any pointers you want to give to the people again before we...
Okay. So the four D's are, there's denial, where you just kind of ignore what somebody said. There's diminish, where you go, okay, hey, you said something really good, but I know that that's not really accurate. You can deflect, where you just kind of ignore, you know, you just kind of go, okay, I hear what you're saying, but not really, but let's talk about the weather. And then there's diminish or dismiss, where you go, okay, you know what, you must have some other reason, some other agenda going on for why you're saying this. And they keep you in that low self-esteem cycle. And so by getting rid of the four D's, then you can start hearing the information more accurately. And again, I think you might need help with that because you've been at it so long, looking at it a certain way, that you might need help trying to start looking at it in a different way.
And I know you have this concept of the happy place society or community, something like that for people, right? You want to touch base on that?
Yeah, that's a new thing that I'm working on, right? So what I've seen is that, like, if you read this book or you listen to our podcast and you try to make the changes by yourself, there's a struggle because what I think you said, this is like the people around you have to adjust, and they might not be so willing to adjust to the changes that you're making. But if you're in a group where everybody's making the same changes, well, then it gets a lot easier. So I'm coming up with this idea of a happy place society where people can join and be a part of that happy place society where everybody's trying to do the same thing. So if everybody in the group is trying to improve their self-esteem, that means I'm going to help you with your self-esteem and you can help me with my self-esteem. Guess what? We all get to win, right? We all get better self-esteem. So I'm liking this idea of the happy place society where we can use the community's help to improve ourselves individually, but also improve each other by working together.
That's an amazing concept because it does draw back to what I said before about having that support system. And if you, sometimes it just takes hearing someone else's story and then seeing what they've accomplished, right? Because you always think when your self-esteem is low or you're going through problems, you always think that your problem is the worst problem ever.
Yeah,
yes. Sure. And sometimes they are. I mean, obviously it feels that way for ourselves when we're going through them, right? So not to invalidate anybody's feelings, but what I'm saying is sometimes when you hear somebody else's story that could be 50,000 times worse than anything that you've gone through, it gives you that perspective. And then when you see that they've come out of it and you see that they made a way where there seemed no way to get out of it and they're successful now and they feel good about themselves and they're healthy and they're helping other people, that's an amazing thing to have happen.
That's called hope, right? Like I just had a patient last week that I met, and when I met him, he had no hope. He thought this, like where he was at was the way he was going to be. And like, when you have no hope, that's bad. Hope was really important for people. So people can have really crappy lives, but if they have the hope that it's going to get better, that keeps them engaged and at least trying to get better. If they have no hope, that's bad. And so what I see with those kinds of stories is they go, oh, look, there was a person who was in a really bad place and he got better. That gives me hope that maybe I can get better too, which is critical, right? At least, so I met him again last night, and like, it was amazing to see the difference that we instilled some hope in him. And this week is so much better.
That's fantastic. And sometimes it is just being able to see something down the road. You know, the old adage, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
That's what I grew up hearing from adults, right? But just having something that you can visualize, okay, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to get to this step. And it is taking it, like you talk about in your book, taking it in increments and giving yourself the points for it and giving yourself credit for the things that you do and not drawing down on yourself all the time to say, hey, I didn't get this done. And then you push yourself back further. You want to take, we don't want 6 steps forward and then 26 back. We want 6 steps forward and then tomorrow 6 steps forward, right? To that better place. And I think when you talk about hope, you know, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, you and I, over times where people are, you don't use addiction, but are in that stress reducing loop, or when people are suicidal and things like that, and they don't see any hope. There's no hope left anymore. So I might feel bad today. I don't know what today, the rest of the day is going to bring. And I may feel bad later today. Who knows? Who knows? But I know that I have hope that tomorrow is a new day and I get to start over again. And I get to, you know, make that day how I want it. And the other thing I wanted to say is, when you're talking about all these things too, you get to choose. You keep saying it, but I'm going to hit on that one more time. You get to choose how you feel. Happiness is a choice. Success is a choice.
This I say this jokingly, but like, if you watch actors and actresses, I watched this actress that went through four emotions in like 30 seconds without even saying a word, right? You could see four different emotions. And I'm like, that is an amazing skill. Well, guess what? We all have the same skills. We might not be as good as her, but we all have the ability to pick and choose the emotions that we have at any given time. We can change our state and say, hey, I don't want to be like that anymore. But I do find that self-esteem is one of those critical inner core beliefs that colors everything that happens to us. And so by changing that, that can make a big difference in everyone's life.
And I know you're probably going to say, Melissa, what are you saying right now? But I'm going to say something because I've known you for a long time. The book that you've written, obviously, is to help a lot of people, and what you've seen along the way in helping a lot of people as a doctor. But I bet you any amount of money, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to kind of say it rhetorically, that this book has helped you as well, right? Writing this?
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, yeah, you know, like when I already tell my patients that I'm writing this book on how to have less stress, they go, oh, I need that book. But then I thought about it. I was like, no, I need that book. Like, my life has had a whole 55-gallon drum of stress. And if it wasn't for this book, then I don't know where I would have been. It would not have been a good situation. No, I use every single part of this book to help me in my everyday life. Absolutely.
Okay, so Gary, this has been great. We're going to wrap things up for today for this podcast. But where can people find the book?
So the book, A Highway to Your Happy Place, A Roadmap to Less Stress. And right now it's on Amazon and it's on Barnes & Noble and it's an ebook right now. So that's where I would go to find it.
And you have a website in case anybody wants to contact you, right?
You do. So the website is called The Less Stress Doc. And you can get on there and you connect with me through that website. There's a block there where you can connect. And then if you have a question or you have a comment, let me know. I'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for having me on today.
And we're going to do this again next month, right?
Yeah, you just, every time you do that, I know you're just locking me in. Yes. That's a commitment. Yes, yes. Yeah, that's a choice. Yeah, yeah. Have a choice. Yes, I will be here next month. Thank you for having me today, and continued success to everybody. Remember, it just starts with the first step, you guys. Just one small step today.
So thank you for listening. And I am always honored if people will listen to what we have to say. But I hope that it really helps you. That's really the key.